everyone, it's your girl Brittany here, and welcome to another podcast. I have my guest co-host, my one and only awesome brother, Andre.
Hello, nice to see you.
Nice to talk to you, you would say. You can't really see everybody on this thing.
You're right. It's been a while.
Anyway, I hope you guys are doing well out there. I hope everyone had a wonderful summer. I, for sure, was super busy and have been going through different things, amazing and sad, and just overall life. I've been going through life. But hey, I'm still here. I'm still looking for the positive, and I am so happy to still be doing this with you guys. So thank you for tuning in. And I hope out there you guys are still not only looking for the positive for yourself, but spreading the positivity out there as well, because we all need that. Now, with that said, as you can tell by the title, we are going to give our review again with the director's cut, with the Spider-Man No Way Home director's cut edition. And my brother and I just actually came from the movies, just from watching it. We went to see the 7 o'clock showing, and can I just say, I'm actually okay with this. Like,
no, it was a good movie.
I thought it was good.
Like, my thoughts from this, the director's cut and the theatrical cut, it's not really that much different. Although I really did like the interview scene. That was pretty funny. It was one of my favorites.
I definitely preferred the director's cut more because there was a lot more dialogue between certain characters and just things to just make it lighthearted in the sense of what it is, but more so lighthearted while we know there's some pretty sad stuff that's about to come for Peter Parker's character, Tom Holland's character, I should say, which we all know what happens with Aunt May. But not only that, but just him having to sacrifice, everyone knowing him and him being all alone, that I, when I saw the first time, it was just so sad to me, and just, I don't know, it just left a very sad feeling for me. That this time around watching it again, this is probably like my fifth time watching it, but this is the director's cut. The other four times was just the original
cinematic,
and it was good. But this was better. This was way better. Like, if anyone were to ask me for the first film, the first Spider-Man movie, which is the No Way Home one that came out last year, I would always say, hey, it was sad, but good. But this time around, I can say this was just good. Like, it was funny, you know?
For me, I would always recommend, like, yeah, just get to watch the director's cut. As far as I'm concerned, on a technical level, it's just a better movie. Mm. Like, the way that they handle the transitions is not as jarring as the theatrical cut.
That's true. I know what you're talking about, because I felt, now watching this, I felt the one we watched first, that was in theaters the very first time, that felt like very choppy. Yeah. Like, we just went from point A to point B to point C, instead of it like being, okay, now that we're leaving A, we're now easing into B. And like, I was able to grasp it more and enjoy it, if anything, as against before, it was like, I just felt shocked and stressed out the whole time. This time around, I didn't feel that jump of stress yet. It was like, oh, we're getting there, but we're not there.
No, I kind of see where you're coming from. And with me, we did a podcast for the original No Way Home. So my score wouldn't really change.
Okay.
There's not enough content to really change what I originally thought. I just think technically it's the director's cut is a better movie, or it's way more polished.
I think this, the director's cut, this is the way John Watts would have wanted it. The other one was just him like trying to please the studios, but this is like how he would like to present it to the watchers. And John Watts, I have to give you credit, like this I prefer as well.
I agree. I guess the studio had a mandate in terms of time, because it's everything that they cut, it seems to have been more of a time thing.
Maybe. But also, too, I will never forget. It was like, I don't know if it was Instagram. I saw, like, some, it was leaked. Like, a video of a video of a video of a video of, like, the guy in the editing room or whatever editing the trailer for Spider-Man. And that's how I knew Dr. Ock was going to be in it, because there was just, like, that leak of his character shown with the, it wasn't even the full thing. It was, like, you could see, like,
the claw.
You don't see the claw. It was green screen and all, but like it was leaked. I don't know. It's not like I
didn't see that.
That's why I was telling you. I was like, Dre, Spider-Man's gonna be insane because they're bringing back Doc Ock. But I thought it was just Doc Ock that they were bringing back, not knowing it was like everybody. So
I don't normally like go into the, like, if it's a if one of the Marvel movies that I'm really interested in, I avoid any information about it as much as humanly possible.
No, I know. I think it was Infinity War. I think I had to watch the trailer like twice, and that was it. You were like, we're not watching it again because we have to save it for the movie.
Especially the third trailer.
No, but that's not the same. Marvel doesn't leak like
everything. They don't leak a lot, but it's just a rule of thumb that I have that I just avoid watching trailers. I don't want to be spoiled.
You don't want to spoil yourself?
Well, like, I think the best franchise for that would be Fast and Furious. If you watch the trailer, especially the third trailer, you basically saw the third act.
I had to learn my lesson the hard way with that one because I was obsessed with Fast and Furious 8 trailer when it was coming out. I was like, this is going to be epic. And when I went to see the movie, I was like, everything was in there.
I'm not even talking about 8. I'm going back to 5.
No.
I watched the trailer for 5 and I saw the they basically had the safe on the back of the car, and it was driving through the city.
Oh, and you saw that in the trailer?
I saw it in the trailer.
See, I'm lucky. I didn't have to see any of that. I didn't know about Fast and Furious until way later in life. And then, they had like, I don't know, on the, you know, they have like marathons.
Okay.
So it was just marathon after marathon after marathon. My dad was watching Fast and Furious, and that's when I looked at the TV and I'm like, what is this? This looks cool.
Which is funny though, because with me, I kind of grew up with it. I went, we all watched the first movie together as a family. Then
no, we did not, because I wasn't there. You know what happened? You and Dad went to see it, and Mom and I went to see Hannah Montana.
That was the fourth movie. We went to go see it together.
I never went to see Fast and Furious in my life, especially when it had like scenes of girls in skimpy clothing. I was younger. Mom wasn't going to expose me to that.
What I'm saying is, though, I watched way more. I went to go, like, on, I think it was March Break or something. I went to go see Too Fast, Too Furious with a couple of friends.
Yeah, I don't know that time in your life. I don't know about
that. I'm saying, though, that I watched Fast and Furious. I grew up with it. I just use that as an example. But with the Spider-Man movie, what we watched, it was a good movie. I enjoyed it. That it was nice to see it again in theater.
It was really nice to see. Now looking back on it, I mean, the first time I saw it, I felt sad. It was sad on what happened to Peter, the aunt. But at the same time, it was very nostalgic. It was just a lot of things at once. So it was just overall, like, the way they just pieced it together was more enjoyable for me this time around. Even though I didn't, you know, the first time I saw it, I didn't like how the story went. Because it was sad, but this time I didn't feel that sadness. I felt like it was like Spider-Man 1 and 2, where it was a little more heartfelt, but like light. Peter was still a little bit chipper, you know, as against like the very sad, emo, depressing Spider-Mans that we saw in the past two other ones. So this one, I like that they had that little bit of its own in still being like happy-go-lucky Peter, but like less tense. But still tense, because I mean, they still kept the scenes that were already like super tense and sad, but they had a little more jokes.
Levity.
Yeah, in just making it light and okay with people, right?
No, I agree with you fully. I guess in this movie, the best way to put it is Spider Brothers. So if you get the chance to go and watch the Spider Brothers, we get a little more interaction with them.
Yes, there was like a funny joke where Andrew Garfield's character, Peter Parker, he said to Tobey Maguire's Peter Parker, like, I wasn't sure, but like, I would hope to see your holes or something, like where the webs come out. I was like, wow, he went that far where he wants to look at the holes. And I'm like, he actually mentioned something that maybe most of us would want to see, the holes that the webs come out and be like, okay,
no,
now
we
do it.
Do see it in the,
we don't actually see the hole. We just see that it left his body. It happened really fast, Ray.
No, we see it in the first movie, the first Spider-Man movie.
I'm going to have to rewatch that.
Yeah, it's definitely there. They show you.
Okay. But that was really cool. Just seeing them again, and there was more dialogue between the three Spider-Men, so I enjoyed that. I like to see that.
The Spider-Bros.
Because it was happening, like, the first one, it was just like, oh, they have to get ready for battle, so they didn't have that long talk as yet. So you kind of just let it be. But this time I was like, yes, we got to see a little more conversation and more questions they were asking Toby. It was funny how they looked at Toby as like the Spider-Man, as against they're also Spider-Man too. But they're like, yeah, but your webs like come out of your body. Well, like, do you think it and it just happens?
Toby looks like he's in his 30s.
Toby?
Yeah, Toby. Yeah. He looks like he's in his, like, late 30s. Andrew Garfield looks like he's in his late 20s. And then you have the little kid.
Tom Holland.
That looks like he came out of high school.
He, technically, in the movie, he did. He's, like, literally about to graduate.
He looks 5 years younger than he actually is.
Yeah, yeah. But it was just nice to see them, like, all, like, together. And the beginning of the movie, you see them all sit together on what's it called? I don't know if they were on FaceTime or whatever, and you just hear...
They did a FaceTime
before the movie started. Yeah. And you just hear Toby and Tom say they love Andrew. And I was like, I'm good. I can enjoy this film. If they started off like that, we're good. We're good to go.
Honestly, it was a good movie. Like, this is the second time watching it. The only time I saw this movie was the theatrical cut opening night. So watching it again tonight, and I'm like, no, I like how the movie flowed. Like I said earlier, it's just, this version is just better.
Yeah.
I would tell anyone, yeah, watch the director's cut.
I feel that too. If anyone were to say, which one should I watch, Brit, I'm like, yo, just watch the director's cut. It's still going to be sad, but not as sad as it felt for me for the first one I watched when it was last year that the Spider-Man movie came out. That's my takeaway from the two.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, with me, it's like, it's not enough for me to change my opinion on the second movie to the theatrical cut. But I definitely preferred the director's cut.
Mm-hmm.
So if I gave, like, I would give this movie like a 9 out of 10. The director's cut is a 9.5.
Nice. Well, originally, just because I'm not even going to talk about cinematic kind of, you know, my points for that, because overall I would give that like a 9 out of 10. Like the graphics and everything, mm-hmm, the action sequences, all of that was great. I would say emotionally, like how it made me feel leaving the theater the first time, it was like a 6 out of 10 because I was feeling super sad. So for that one, I would had to give it 6. But this one, I'm giving it an 8 out of 10. In that, it didn't make me feel that sad leaving the theater. Like, I was able to reflect on the funny parts. They had more of the funny parts in this, with even the dialogue between the three Spider-Mans, that I could just appreciate more, as against before it was kind of cut short because they had to like go into battle and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And then the ending, where even they had this part where MJ said, I figured you out before, I'll figure you out again. I was just like, that wasn't there before. I'm feeling this, you know? So it gave me hope. I felt like this movie, I was able to watch it again and be like, I don't know what's going to happen with the Spider-Man universe. Like, there's so many things it could go into. It could go into Spider-Man versus Venom, because we all saw that Venom goop still there. We could have another Andrew Garfield movie. Who knows? Or another Toby. Actually, I don't know if Toby's coming back. But if he really wanted to, I think we would all support, just to see whatever happened to his side of the universe, you know? Because we want to catch up with Toby. We want to catch up with Andrew. I think we're caught up with Tom, even though I would love to see Tom Spider-Man go to college, him navigate his life, and then, like, get back MJ and Ned in some way. Like, that's my, like, rooting. That's my new storyline for him. It's like, get back your friends, because that's the only family you have right now. I mean, I don't know about him and Happy's relationship anymore, but I definitely am rooting for him to get his friends and family back.
No, like, well, it's gonna be a divide. So if they continue with Tom Holland, you're going to have Spider-Man interacting with these people, not Peter Parker. So it would be Spider-Man and Happy.
Yeah.
Spider-Man and Doctor Strange. There's no Peter Parker.
I know. And that's the thing. I think this is nice because he can reinvent himself and just be like, just create new memories with them. They don't have to have the old memories to be like, oh, I like Peter.
Okay. That's a good idea. Yeah. I'm just putting this out there because I personally want this. Can we get Tobey Maguire, Spider-Dad, So basically, MJ and Toby has a daughter, and that daughter becomes Spider-Girl. Let's make this happen.
Oh my gosh. Don't put that out there. I don't think I'm ready for that.
And let's have Andrew Garfield have a movie 3 versus Venom.
I think Andrew Garfield should get a third movie just to get like an MJ. Because we all know Gwen was going to go. And it's like, let's introduce MJ for Andrew so he can have love. Because you know what? Even though he was bitter, he's such a sweet Spider-Man. Like, he's just too sweet. You know, in the scene, I never understood why this caught my eye. But when Lola was like saying, hey, you got webs all over my house, please clean it up. Toby didn't even touch anything to clean it up. But you see Andrew Garfield's character picking up the salts and peppers that were spilled over by Toby and him, like, having a web off. And to me, it was just so sweet how it's the little things. And I was like, guys, can we give Andrew just one more epic movie?
I don't even think they did that in his first movie. It developed him a lot more in the second.
Yeah, the second movie I actually preferred.
Yeah, because he was more developed in the second movie as a person. They kind of made him all over the place.
Yeah, he was like a skater boy, and then
he's a skater boy, nerdy,
but he wasn't that nerdy. He wasn't even nerdy. He was just cocky. Well, not cocky in a bad way, but he was just. If you watch the first one, you're like, wow, this is Andrew? They weren't sure what to do with him in the first film. And then the second film, he got his footing.
He wasn't nerdy enough. You're right. He wasn't.
He
was just like, hey, yeah.
He had game. He wasn't shy at all. He wasn't like Toby, who was way too shy. And then Tom, who's just awkward.
All right, let's put it this way. Tom Holland and MJ, you can totally see them playing Dungeons and Dragons in the basement.
Yeah.
You can totally see that.
Right.
That would not be out of the left field. Can you say the same for Andrew Garfield?
No, he would be too cool for that.
And Tobey Maguire would be too old.
Yeah, that's it.
He would be like, oh, come on, Grandpa. Why are you playing this game?
He did. Toby, God bless him. But he gave me
Bless his heart.
He gave me, like, such an old man vibe. Like, I was like, even when he got stabbed, I was like, guys, Toby's been through enough. Like, can you not right now? But luckily, he's like, I've gotten stabbed before, so you're okay with it. But still, that scene irked me because I was like, Toby just came and saved your life. And the Goblin's like, I don't care. Stab. That just shows you the Green Goblin was just straight up evil.
Yeah, yeah.
He was actually the biggest villain in this whole film.
I love that.
That was insane to me because the first movie, I told my brother in the theater, I was like, you know what's funny? If you watch the first movie, the Green Goblin wasn't this savage. Like, he was just... a lot of laughing, but and he had some moments of, you know, being a bad guy. I would have to watch it again, but he was ruthless, and he kept fighting and hitting and cutting, and like the smile, even when Peter was punching him in the face in Happy's apartment, you just see the Goblin smiling throughout. I was like, this is giving me Joker vibes. Like, this guy is so good. Willem Dafoe, you did a really good job playing the Green Goblin in No Way Home. I gotta give you credit.
Remember though, and this is in the first Spider-Man movie, it's Peter Parker's Aunt May. She was saying her prayers before going to bed.
Oh my gosh, and he showed up.
And then he shows up. And he's like, oh no! Oh no! And he's like, finish it. Finish it.
He never said it.
And deliver us from evil.
She never said that.
Yes. Yet.
No. I'm not adding that in there.
The movie.
It was not in there.
It's the movie.
No, she just started screaming thinking she saw hell when this guy just showed up in her room.
Watch the movie.
That's not what happened. It was there. You're doing too much right now.
Really, it was there. It was the most savage thing ever.
No, he didn't do that. That was too much. That would be way too much for 2001 people.
That was so savage.
No, no. What he did in this one, though, like trying to paint as
if... I will find the clip and show you.
You know what, guys? If Andre finds the clip and it's correct the way he said it, I will post it on the Instagram for you guys to see for yourself.
I'ma do it right now.
But before we get there, also, Dre, this is a Marvel film. And how have you been feeling about Marvel films lately since we had so far what's come out was like the Spider-Man, we have Thor, Love and Thunder, we have Moon Knight, we have Loki, we have, oh, Doctor Strange, we have Eternals. We just had a couple of stuff. Now She-Hulk is actually one of the newest ones on Disney Plus. It's a TV show and I haven't seen it yet, you guys. I'll get to it. I'm just not rushing. I feel with a lot of these Marvel films now, like usually opening night I'm running there or tuning in on TV.
Remember WandaVision?
Yeah, like that one I never wanted to miss an episode.
It was confusing, but I enjoyed the mystery element of it.
Yeah, me too.
It really needed two more episodes to finish properly, but Falcon and the Winter Soldier was good.
I liked that one too. That was really enjoyable.
I had to start it though, with there was clearly not finished. It was kind of incomplete.
Yeah, just like What If, because I think they were supposed to put out a Gamora episode and they didn't.
They clearly did.
They didn't.
Yeah, they clearly had the Gamora episode that it was supposed to be a What If.
No, just the last episode shows Gamora and I'm like, where did she come from?
Yeah, they were supposed, they wouldn't.
She had a story, I think. They just cut it out. But yeah, there's a lot of, I don't know where Marvel is, and I know a lot of people are talking and they're saying it feels a bit unfinished. They've been rushing the worker, like the team, the graphics team and all that. They've been rushing them, sadly. And I guess this is why a lot of us aren't.
Couldn't they just hire a brand new studio?
Andre, you're not Disney. You're only a person looking at the finished product. You're not the person who was working on the product. So
understand the concept of crunch. And the animator people and the special effects people, I can totally get that they're getting the short end of the stick with Disney's current Bing Bing Bang type of content.
Yeah.
Because they're pushing out a lot of content. But what happened to, you know, how do I put this nicely? Quality control?
I don't know. I mean, I even thought to remember a lot of things paused at 2020 since the pandemic. So right. It was like now they're trying to get back that same momentum based off of like what happened at like Endgame and go into these new phases. But the stories are not holding me, and not because it's like short attention span kind of thing. It's like, I don't know. Why is it that Iron Man, the first one, was so good? Tell me. Why did that grip so many people to the point where it's like, even though the second Iron Man wasn't great, maybe the third one was a bit worse, we still kept going because we were like, they did it right before.
What was the other, the movie that we watched was Doctor Strange, right?
Yeah.
And
The Madness one.
Yeah, the Universe of Madness. Multiverse of Madness.
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry. And in all honesty, though, special effects is just a tool of the story.
Yeah, but overall, the story itself
was
could have been better.
Could have been better.
Yeah,
it could have been better.
Like I think you were saying earlier on our way to the movie that it was supposed to be
Mordor versus
Doctor Strange. Like Wanda, I think Wanda. Not that she was great work, but I don't think it was her time to show up in that movie yet.
I wanted Wanda to be an apprentice of Doctor Strange. That way, the movie would have way more stakes or impact. Wanda going completely off the deep end would have more impact that way.
Yeah, because when we just see her switch, we're like, okay, so she's kind of like Pandora's box. You don't know what you're going to get.
Right.
As against, like, before, we saw where she was bad, and then she tried to be good with the Avengers, and she was on Cap's side. She wasn't even on Iron Man's side. Just taking that in. And then she went to losing everything she loved, including Vision, to now she's just simply...
We don't have to go into that much detail. The thing is, though, and this is why you brought it up, we're not enjoying the
that's
the
what
stories.
I was trying to get at. I was like, guys, it's like I love my Marvel movies, I love the TV shows, well, some of them, one of them, two of them the most, but it's not the same. Like the hypeness for me is not the same. I'm not like running to get tickets.
Didn't you like go out of your way to watch like the Lego series?
There was a time where I don't know how it happened. It was, like, late at night, and it was, like, watching, like, Guardian Galaxy or just Lego series on the Marvel characters. Like, that's how much of Marvel I was into. That now, I just, if I'm going to have a Marvel moment, I'm watching the old stuff.
And the funny thing is, though, with She-Hulk, I have a lot to say about that. So we can discuss it when the series are done.
If you guys want a She-Hulk review from myself and my brother, let us know, because
you're sure you want me involved? Wouldn't it be better, though, to have it like you when
we'll bring someone on. We'll bring someone on. Not just
I don't think I would be the best person.
You're biased. That's why.
I'm not even biased. Like, I don't think they could do anything with the She-Hulk that would make me enjoy it.
So this is why we're gonna bring another person, and I know just the person who's a Marvel fan, and you guys gotta tune in because we got a special guest coming our way. But we will come with a She-Hulk review among the other Marvel movies, because you see, I feel like you and I are on the same page, and I would love to hear someone else's perspective. Yeah. Because, you know, there are people who are enjoying what's out there already. They don't actually have an issue with it, which I'll look at them and be like, really? Are you sure? Because are we watching the same thing? Did I miss an episode, or did I not see a part in the movie that you caught that you loved, and I'm here like, what did I just watch?
And with me, though, I guess my bias is really simple.
From the comics.
No, it's simpler than that. The second She-Hulk goes back in her human form, I'm like, wait, she can turn back? Wait, did
you're saying She-Hulk can only stay as a Hulk?
To my knowledge, based on the cartoon series, She-Hulk was always She-Hulk. That was her. She lived her entire life 100% of the time being green.
We don't know until we watch the show. We'll see what they do in the show. Because I can't answer you and say, no, man, she stays as the Hulk. Or, no, man, she does transform back into a human. I can't say that because I haven't seen the show.
Okay. I guess I watched the first episode.
You did?
And she was
basically... I thought you were going to wait for me. You said you would never watch it without me.
When I say watch, I'm not saying I watched it, if that makes sense.
Guys, I think my brother watched She-Hulk without me. And I am devastated.
I didn't actually watch
then
it.
Then what did you watch? The trailer? Then what did you watch, Dre?
Reviews.
Oh, you just watched the reviews. Okay. Well, anyway, I still feel a bit of a betrayal because I haven't touched it just because you haven't touched it. So I was like, I guess
no, we'll watch it together. I just watched a review because I was just like, oh, She-Hulk came out. Why is it getting so bad?
We don't know that. And you know what? I mean, I can hear other people's opinions, but I like to form mine.
So based on what you watched.
What I got from it, because there was a lot of people who were like, there's no big deal about Guardians, and yet it's like, I think is one of the greatest films.
and you know the joke is, though, with me, it's kind of the opposite. I'll watch a review, and then I'll be like, oh man, this I gotta see for myself. No. Like, I watched a review for Batman v Superman. I was like, there is no way they would do Doomsday like that. They could not do Doomsday like that. So I went in theaters on a matinee to watch it, and I was just like, oh my god, they actually did that.
So, you see, you know, you can always listen to some people's opinions, but the best is to just experience it for yourself. Or if you really trust that person who's saying, hey, it's a terrible movie, then yeah, you know, there's people who warned me. They were like, Britt, don't watch Eternals. And I'm like, guys, there's like so many stars in it. Like, why not?
I don't think Eternals was that bad.
Are we talking about the same Eternals, Dre?
Are
we talking about the same Eternals?
I don't think it was that bad. It was boring.
Oh my gosh. Okay, guys. So anyway, agree to disagree.
Do we have to have the Transformers talk again? I'm not even saying it's bad. I was like, it was boring. It was one of the most boring things I've seen in a long time.
Anyway, back to Spider-Man. The movie was good, you guys. If you want to see the director's cut over the long weekend, I recommend it. It's one of the things that I think it made my long weekend feel fun. And it was a Marvel movie that I would say is worth going to theaters for, as against the other ones. I can't say the same. I can't. I'd rather just be like, if you really want to see it, just wait for it to go on Disney Plus. But for Spider-Man, it's a good one to see in theaters.
Yeah.
Like, people, actually, I was surprised that when we went, and this movie's been out for like a year now, when we went, people were clapping and cheering.
It was packed.
It was, first of all, the theater was very packed. Like, everyone was there. But it's because it's a long weekend. And two, people were clapping. Like, when they saw Toby and Andrew show up in the screen, they were like, woo! And I was like, we're still doing that, you guys? Okay, I'm here for it. Like, I'm here to clap for my Toby and Andrew.
It's everybody's first time.
No, so it's not.
It could be.
No, they're just hype. It's like, it's a natural reaction. Like, you can't watch Infinity War, and when Cap shows up, you can't say that and can't just sit there and not clap for him. You have to start screaming when you see Cap.
Okay. So, in our theater, right? We had a little girl just happened to say out loud when everyone was quiet, "Oh no!" You're gonna tell me that she watched that movie the second time? That little girl's reaction.
No,
when she said it.
So it was the scene where Spider-Man was trying to capture Jamie Foxx's character and the Sandman. And then as soon as... No. Sorry. The Green Goblins. The Green Goblins section where he just got Ock Doc. And as soon as he was done with that, that's when the Green Goblin showed up. And then whoosh. That's when Doctor Strange brought them back to the lair. And you just hear a little voice go, "What happened?" And it was the cutest thing ever. And everyone in the theater started laughing.
The girl was clearly younger than 5. I would be shocked if she was 5.
So, yeah. Maybe it was a few people's first time.
That's what... It's always someone's first.
You know, it's not even, like, a few people. It was just that one little girl's first time. And then when there was, like, a frightening scene of the lizard popping up, you just hear some little kids go, "Ah!"
It was their first time watching it, right?
They were so frightened. It was so adorable.
It's always somebody's first time, Brit.
Oh, my goodness. But anyway.
What said that?
If you have not seen Spider-Man No Way From Home, or No Way Home, I should say, definitely watch it. And, yes, I give it an 8 out of 10, as against my last score, or my thinking of my last score was around 6 because it was sad. This one was, like, sad but good. But now it's not just sad but good. It's good. And a little funny and a little sad. There you go. You have your funny in there, too, to enjoy the film. So that's what I got to say about that. And one good positive takeaway from this film, guys, was definitely what I said before. And the last one, and I'll say it again, was if you help one person, you help everyone. Because I find in showing kindness to others, it's nice. It's a nice continuation on one person to another, and it's something that continues on this life. And I feel there's no way of regretting to be kind to someone, because it's just a way of life. We're all on this earth together, and it's really good to show that love and care and compassion to one another, because you don't know what someone's going through. And Aunt May definitely did that in the film. Like, you could just see where she had that heart for people who was dealt not a really great hand, and was trying her best to instill that in Peter before anything were to happen to her, just to know, like, you shouldn't regret being kind, because it goes a long way. So I hope that encourages you guys throughout this year and the week to come. Enjoy your long weekend and enjoy the last couple of days or weeks of summer before we fall into the fall. Dre, any last comments to the listeners out there?
It's Labor Day weekend, so... for some of the viewers, they're going to have to go back to school. The other viewers, they're going to have to go back to work. So make the most of the weekend and enjoy it with your family.
You sounded like a weather person for a second.
Really? Yeah.
Thank you guys for listening. Take care. See you next time. Bye.